Thank you for listening to this sermon from Arapahoe Road Baptist Church. We hope you enjoy the teaching of Dr. David Rogers, lead pastor of Arapahoe Road. For more information about our church and its ministries, please visit arapahoeroad.org. And now, here's Pastor David Rogers.
I invited you to turn your Bibles a moment ago to Psalm 66. Let me invite you to turn it to another place in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 is not going to be on the screen, so if you didn't bring your books today, you're going to be out of luck. There's a Bible in the row in front of you. Philippians 2 is on page 981. Page 981. If you don't have a Bible, come see me in the Home Life Center when we're done this morning. I'll give you a brand new one to call your own. Philippians 2 is another passage I've been thinking about in preparation for this morning. Paul's writing to his friends at the church in Philippi. And in Philippians 2, about verse 12, he's writing and he says this, "Therefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, so now, not only is in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it's God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or questioning." Boy, that's a hard one, isn't it? Sometimes it just feels better to grumble and complain a little bit. And Paul's going, hey, do all things without grumbling or questioning. Why? "That you may be blameless and innocent, children of God, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation." Boy, that describes our world, doesn't it? In the midst. Let's just read that again. "That you may be blameless and innocent." See, grumbling and questioning correlates with twisted and crooked. "Do all things without grumbling or questioning, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God, without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world." That's what darkness needs, right? Light. Don't just come to church in community. Be what? A mission. Get out of here at the end of the day and go out there to be light in the midst of darkness. "Among whom you shine as lights in the world." Check this out. You're not just to shine out of your own brightness. Just fan your flame a little bit harder. Work a little bit harder for Jesus. See if you can rev it up a little bit more and shine a little brighter. No. "Among whom you shine as lights in the world," verse 16, "holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain, even if I'm to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith. I'm glad and rejoice with all of you. Likewise, you also should be glad and rejoice with me." It's the word of the Lord. And I love what he says there in the beginning, verse 12 and 13. "So then, my beloved, just as you've always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now what? Much more in my absence." See, all throughout Scripture, we see people of God going different directions. "Not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence." And some dear friends are packed up and they're moving away. Still, our hearts beat for them. We still love them. I had the privilege of baptizing with them this morning. And so I want to invite Todd Agold and Sarah Agold to just share some words of encouragement as they prepare to move from this area that's been home for many, many years down to College Station, Texas. Thankfully, it's still within driving distance. But I've asked Todd and Sarah just to come as an elder of our church, and Sarah is just one of the key leaders in our family ministries and our kids' ministries, and know that your family has been so invested here for many, many years. Todd, I just wanted you to have an opportunity to just share a bit to your church that loves you so well.
Thanks, David. David asked me if I wanted to share a few words, and And I told him, you know, God's really been putting on my heart just what he's done for us, you know, through this whole move and just everything leading up to it and just his provision. I just want to encourage you guys in that. And there's so many things that I could talk about of just how God worked. It probably even starts from when we got married here. It was 98. So it was somewhere right about here. We got married. We dedicated our kids here, right down here. And so just thank you for loving us as a church family. We love you back. This will always be a very special place for us because of the special memories here. Both our kids have been baptized up here. So that was exciting this morning. But as far as provision, just an example, back in March of last year, my boss called me and said, hey, can you come to my office? But, oh, that's kind of a little weird. Just so you know, I worked at Halliburton, so oil field company. And so I went in and she said, you know, close the door. And I was like, oh, here we go. I know what this means. And so she kind of had a pretty canned script of, you know, your position's being eliminated and all that stuff. And I'm like, okay. And I think it really struck her off guard because through just being in college and just growing here through the church family, I've just become very sensitive to trusting in what God has for me. Because when I was in high school, I thought I was going to do something, and you know, that wasn't God's plan. And he changed everything in my life to make sure that his plan happened. And I've always focused on, okay, what is God going to do in this situation? You know, Sarah said I'm talking too long. But so what is God going to do in this situation? Whether it be a difficult time or even a joyous time, what is God doing with this situation? So I got laid off back in March. Luckily, we got a pretty good severance, so I was able to just take a little bit of time and reflect on what has God wanted us to do. And what does that mean? And I got a random phone call from a guy I know a little bit through my in-laws, and he said, hey, I got some potential opportunity for you to do some contract work for me. I'm like, okay, no, that's kind of cool. So I could do it from home and do a little traveling and do some work there. And kind of wrapping up that work. So I was like, okay, what's the next thing that God has planned? And then he one day just sends me an email, hey, give me a call, I want to talk to you about something. So I called him up and he shared with me, he said, hey, I want you to come work for me for full time. I was like, well, that's be nice. But he said, yeah, you're really going to have to come to College Station. And I said, wow, that's a cool place to be if I ever had to move, being that, you know, Aggies are there and everything. Hey, by the way, did you see the score of that baseball game?
There's been other things happening in Waco than
sorry about that. You know, that was a little bit of a shock after I thought about it for a little bit. It's like, you know, we'd have to really move. We've lived here since 97 before we even got married. And what does that mean for us and our family and kids in school and a new church? And it's just, now it starts to become overwhelming. What does all that mean? And then I was just reminded, you know, I've been reading through the Old Testament book by book. And just kept being reminded of how God provided for the Israelites. And it reminded me back even in my college days of, hey, God provides for you, trust in him. And so this is just our next adventure, our next chapter. We're not too far away, about 3 hours, so we'll come back and visit. Certainly be praying for you guys. And love you. And that's it, I guess.
Fantastic. Would you help me just encourage Todd and Sarah? She wasn't sure.
All right. I love talking with a microphone. we do love this church. My family joined this church. I was 2 years old. And we've seen a lot of wonderful things happen here. We are very excited about this next chapter, but we will miss you. We love you guys. I have just had the opportunity to work with Dan as children's ministry assistant. And that has been one of the greatest joys of my life. And just, I have loved it here. And I want to thank you for allowing me to do that.
You're doing great.
And I would appreciate your prayers for our family, specifically for 7-year-old and 11-year-old boys to come and befriend my kids, and also that we can find a new church that that we can plug into and minister to the community. I'm so excited about what's happening here and how you guys are just reaching people for the gospel, people that normally I don't think would be reached. We're opening our doors up, and we're inviting these people in. And that's just incredibly exciting. And we look forward to watching this from afar and seeing what God is going to do at Arapahoe Road.
It's awesome. I'd love for us to do just what Sarah asked and to pray for her family. Let's stand right down here, and I'd love for your boys to come and gather. And just some of you who have a real connection with the Agolds, if you wouldn't mind just gathering around them. We see in Scripture where as people are getting ready to be sent off, there's a gathering that takes place, and they gather around and they lay hands. And man, I want my wife praying for you new friends, because she prayed two best friends for our kids right on our street. I mean, right where we lived when we moved, and they're best of friends. And so, church family, would you just begin praying for the Agolds as these dear friends gather around them? And let's just offer them up to the Lord as they prepare to head to College Station. I mean, when we say amen later today, they're in their car and on their way. And so, Lord, we do lift up Todd and Sarah and Walker and Hudson to you. We know that you know the plans that you have for them. Lord, they've been so instrumental in so many ways here at Arapahoe Road and in this community, and so many family and friends love the Agolds. And Lord, we lift them up to you. And just as Paul was writing to his friends at the church in Philippi, so then, my beloved, just as you've always obeyed, not only in our presence, but now much more in our absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you both to will and to act according to his good pleasure. As you hold on to the word of life in the midst of a crooked and depraved generation, Lord, may they do everything without grumbling or complaining. And may they show themselves blameless in the midst of this generation. And may they shine brightly as they live according to your word, full of grace and truth, just like you are, Lord Jesus. Protect them, give them great friends, an incredible church, places to serve. And oh Lord, how you have provided for the Agolds. Lord, one of the things I'll never forget, when Todd shared with me that he had been laid off, part of what he did when that time, before the next provision took place, was he was up here serving day after day, using his gifts and talents to bless others. Sarah was serving, cleaning out closets, organizing, helping our kids' ministry prepare for all that you're going to do and continue to do. And Lord, you were providing relationships and stability for Walker and Hudson. Why would we think you'd do anything different now? You're going to lead this great family down the road and plug them into the provision that you already have in mind for them. Lord, I'm grateful that they're already planning to come back for vacation Bible school because they love this place and they love these people. And Lord, as they head out and step into a new opportunity and a new chapter, Lord, we know that you're going to cause others in this church to step up and to fill those leadership voids that are being left behind. We dedicate them to you. We love them, and we entrust them to you today. In Christ's name, everybody said, amen. Amen. We love you, Todd, and we love you, Sarah, and we love you, Walker, and we love you, Hudson. There's one other passage of Scripture that I want to share with you, and then I want you to hear one more story, and then we'll begin to wrap our time up. In Acts chapter 13, I referenced this just a moment ago, but I want to show you where it is in Scripture, at least one place. It's on page 921 if you're using the Bible in the row in front of you. Acts 13. The little title is Barnabas and Saul Sent Off. And in Acts 13, beginning in verse 1, it says, "Now there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, a member of the court of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said," remember that song we were singing earlier? "Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place. Change the atmosphere." This is who we were singing about and singing to. "The Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." And then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and they sent them off. There are two more that I want you to hear from this morning who have a call on their lives. And they are preparing to be sent off. That specific place and that specific time is still yet to be determined. But Scott Partridge and Rachel Partridge have been talking with me over the last several months. Scott is our associate pastor of students and mission, and he and Rachel back in March said, "I think the Lord is preparing us to make some changes." And I've been talking with our personnel committee, with our elders, and today is the right time to widen that circle. And so, Scott and Rachel, would you come and would you just share a bit of what the Lord's been doing in your lives? And just want our church family to hear from you and to know what God's been up to.
Yes, sir. As Pastor David said, and in case you're not aware, the call that God has placed on our lives is we want to go and be sent by the Lord to go and reach unreached people groups.
What's an unreached people group?
Yeah, an unreached people group. It's a really good question. But ultimately, these are people groups where there's little to no access to the gospel, and there are very minuscule number of believers. Kind of the what we use is less than 2% evangelical believers is kind of the baseline for which we can help define that. The Bible tells us the Great Commission, it's not going to be complete until there are believers from every nation and people group on the planet. And we know it's the job of the church to accomplish this mission, and we want to be used by the Lord to do that. The time has not yet come for us to eventually go. That's still our calling, but that door is not open. Part of going overseas biblically is to be sent by the church, and we want Arapahoe Road to be that church that sends us. Our time here has been a great time of preparation, and it continues to be a time of preparation and personal growth as God prepares us. We will step into that role when it comes, but that time is not yet. The calling is still there, though, and student ministry has been a time of preparation for us as we get ready for that. But the time has come where we feel like God is calling us to step into whatever is next and to step away from serving in the student ministry. So over the next couple months, we'll be entering into a time of transition out of my role as associate pastor of students and mission into whatever it is that God leads us. I'm going to be looking for some sort of position that lines up with the passions that God has given me and match with our call as well. Some of these include working with international students or refugees, teaching, evangelism, discipleship, and biblical theological training. So something that meets one or more of these passions is something that I'm going to be looking for. A lot of factors went into this decision, and we've been working with the staff and personnel committee and elders throughout the past couple months. One, obviously, is just the call that God has placed on our lives to want to reach unreached people groups. Another thing is, one thing I've been doing here as in my role is I've been working with the Baptist Student Ministry at UT Dallas on a regular basis, continuing that relationship. They've helped us with with overflow. They brought leaders for us. So I've been trying to keep that relationship good. And there are so many international students on that campus. Many of them are just eager for truth and meaning in their life, and they're wanting to hear about just the hope that Jesus can bring them. And so that's kind of been a factor that's helped me come to this decision. And another thing is, we've been serving as a cares team at our apartment community. And sometimes it feels like our community is like the United Nations, just with all the people from all over the world who call Equinox home. And so we've been able to meet so many people from all over the world, and we just really feel like God wants us to make some time to have more of these interactions and conversations going forward. And Rachel has something to say.
Rachel's got a lot to say.
Not too much, because this is extremely uncomfortable for me. You should know that up front. So yes, another factor that the timing really just ordained by the Lord in this, in transitioning, is our own personal debt retirement. And I know before we've kind of spoken about some of our story. If you don't know, about 3 years ago, we just found ourselves in a very rough position financially, mostly just from poor decisions, poor stewardship, ignorance about how to handle money. We were very convicted by that, and I have notes because I'll forget. And so we started a journey to becoming debt-free and worked very hard for 3 years. About 2 months ago in April, we realized just how close we were to getting rid of that last debt. And I told Scott, I was like, if we don't spend any money this month, then we can be debt-free by the end of the month. And so we didn't spend any money for a whole month.
That's why he was eating crackers for lunch every day at church. It was awesome.
Which is hard because we like food and eating out. We did eat. I have to eat. I'm pregnant. So yes, about a month ago, we officially became debt-free and plan to stay that way. But our biggest goal in that was not just to not have debt or to hoard money or get whatever we want, but we really felt like our debt was a huge hindrance on this call that God has placed on us. He has entrusted us with an income, and we before were poor stewards of it, and he's taught us how to use that for his glory. Like Scott said, we want to work with unreached people groups, and right now there's, I think, like 6,000 something of those on the planet. They're not unreached because nobody wants to reach them, but because they're very hard to reach and they're expensive to reach and they live in places that just aren't accessible. And so we feel like the Lord has entrusted us with an income to be used for his ultimate purpose in reaching all of those people and completing the Great Commission. And so that becoming debt free and the timing of all of this was really just perfect, God ordained. And so we are kind of open to whatever the Lord brings to us. We have no idea what type of job Scott's going to have in a couple of months, which is awesome to think about. But being debt-free and knowing how to steward the resources that God has given us has really just kind of opened us up to whatever he wants us to do, even if it's a support-based job, which before we said no to that, but now we're kind of open to whatever the Lord brings us because he's shown us how to handle his resources and what he's given us. So, yeah, I think that's all.
Yeah. So why are we making this transition now? In working with the personnel committee, we feel that it's best for the student ministry to really have as much momentum as possible going into the next school year in the fall. So we're going to be taking the summer months to make that transition. You probably have quite a few questions, one of which I can go ahead and answer here. Y'all may be asking, well, are you going to be leaving the church? And the answer is no. So we want to be here. We want Arapaho Road to be the church that sends us. So we only live like a mile away. We've got no reason to leave the church. And so we're going to be here. I'll just be transitioning off of my role as staff here. And then the only other request I'll make this morning is after we're done, I really would love to be able to process this with students and any parents of students who want to. So you may want to come up and ask me a bunch of questions. I'm here all summer and beyond, and so I'm more than willing to answer any questions that y'all might have, but I really would love to take the time this morning to be with the students and any parents of students who might have some questions and help them process things.
Yeah, would you just help me encourage Scott and Rachel as they're just stepping out in what the Lord's called them to do? Just as we did with the Agolds a moment ago, I want us to really gather around the Partridges and lay hands on them and be committed to praying for them. I mean, what that this means is when God shows them the unreached people group that He is going to lead them to, and we get to be the church that sends them to that people group, guess which unreached people group Arapaho Road is going to go all in on helping them to share the gospel with them. Arapaho Road gets to be their sending church. Arapaho Road gets to be a part of fulfilling that part of the Great Commission. I know that there's blanks that need to be filled in, one of which is, okay, what happens next in our student ministry? We've talked with Kelly Brewer, Kelly and Taylor are a committed family here. Kelly has a deep and rich background in student ministry, has been on church staffs before in student ministry, are key volunteers in our student ministry, has served on and continues to serve on our student ministry council. And in talking with Kelly, Kelly and Taylor just feel like the Lord has really positioned them as part of their call to step into interim seasons in ministry to give leadership. And so the personnel committee's been working and continues to work with Kelly. He's on a business trip this weekend. He's not quitting his job to come and serve in that capacity. It'll be a bivocational role in an interim time. We're still going through the application process and deeper background checks, all that stuff that you have to do when you step into a more prominent leadership role. But we'd continue to build a team around Kelly with ministry residents and interns and recruit volunteers that want to serve and step into this next season. We're looking at September the 1st as really being that time to hand the baton off. So we have the summer to transition, to make sure that we've got all of our I's dotted and T's crossed, and then so that the student ministry can head forward into the next school year. As Scott mentioned, they're not going anywhere. They're going to be around. We want to make sure you know if you've got questions, we've got the whole summer and beyond to make sure that you're up to speed on where they are and how the Lord's leading them. But this morning, we wanted to widen that circle so that we've got the whole summer to be praying that the Lord would show them the next steps of provision. And I want to ask Scott and Rachel just to stand right down here and ask some of you to gather around Scott and Rachel. If you're able to, would you stand right where you're at? We want to just begin to wrap our time up by praying and laying our hands, just as we saw in Acts 13, over the Partridges. And then and we'll wrap our time up here in just a moment with a song that is near and dear to our hearts. But let's just lay our hands on the Partridges. Lord, we love Scott. We love Rachel. We love Joseph. And Lord, we know that you're forming and fashioning a little one inside of Rachel's womb. Lord, we know that you know the plans you have for them. You're the one that called them to the ends of the earth. You're the one, when we talk talked with them 3 years ago about coming and serving here. Lord, we knew then. They said it then. Our call is not to student ministry for long. It's to unreached peoples who never have heard about Jesus. And so we said, come on. And now you're saying to them, step out. Make the transition. And we just trust, just as Todd shared, how you've provided for the Eagles, we trust that same provision is in store for Scott and Rachel and their family. Lord, we want to be a church that is serious about the Great Commission. And what a privilege it is that we have too, that we have the opportunity to send to the ends of the earth in the coming days. But Lord, that time has not come yet. And so while they're still with us, we want to be faithful to encourage and support, pray for, lift them up, and walk alongside. And we praise you, Lord, because we know you are their master. And we know that you have a call on their life and you have a plan for them. And we want to be in step with them as they continue to step out in faith. And we pray this today in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Feel free to distribute this recording, but please do not sell or alter it in any way. For more information about Arapahoe Road Baptist Church, please visit our church website at arapahoeroad.org. Arapahoe Road Baptist Church is located at 2256 Arapahoe Road in Garland, Texas, with Sunday morning services at 9:30 a.m. Feel free to join us this week.